702.
Refill us on Twitter
at
Mpakanyane.
And after the 8 o'clock news, what do we always do? We talk parenting with Nikki Bush. Of course, Nikki is a human potential author, speaker, and a parenting expert. So it's always a pleasure to speak to you, Nikki, today. Good morning, Nikki.
Hello, good morning.
Hi. And today, Nikki, we're talking about how kids can improve their comprehension skills. Get us stuck into this because, of course, it's not so easy at this point where you're learning remotely. Your teacher, if you can, you're learning remotely. Your teacher may be able to point you to the exercise or a part of the work that you need to tackle, but it's not quite the same way where you might have been able to in real life say, excuse me, please explain this to me again, and in whispered and hushed tones, she can quickly take you through it whilst, you know, everybody else goes about their work. And of course, it might become even more challenging if you're not learning online, but you've got your schoolwork and you're trying to at least reinforce all the work that you've done previously. And you don't even have the benefit of a teacher to at least be able to see and speak to for a few minutes online. So talk to me about comprehension skills and how parents and kids can make sure they improve their children's comprehension skills.
Yes, so comprehension skills, or feel they are such an important life skill. And being able to put things in your own words is also incredibly, incredibly important. So we live in an era of information overload. And, you know, it's one of those things, you know, some people say, well, you know, do we need to teach our children to read and do we need to teach them to write? You know, in this era when we're going to be able to dictate, you know, to a machine and it'll write for us and, you know, those kinds of things. But I really do believe that these are some of the most important skills that our children are going to need to develop. It's the ability to be able to sift through a lot of information for meaning and to be able to repackage information in your own words, and that's called paraphrasing.
Sure.
And, you know, whether our child is reading a book or whether they are watching TV, a program, because, you know, you can be passively watching TV and it's kind of not really landing. So we want to actually tap into our children every now and again and find out what they understand from what they have either watched or read. Mm-hmm. Very, very important that we're actually helping our children to become active readers or active listeners or active viewers. So those are three areas where they're taking in information, but are they actually making sense of what they're reading, seeing, or hearing? Is this
a challenge for a lot of children, Nikki?
Yes,
and what comes in the way of being able to be able to take in information, like you said, lots of information, synthesize it, and then, you know, give it back to the person who's asking you about it in your own words or in a way that makes sense to that person?
Yes, well, this is an increasing challenge. We're finding that children have their comprehension skills are getting lower and lower. And there are some reasons why, I believe. One is that maybe in some homes there is no story time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, children actually love story time, being read to. Or as they get older, you can share the reading. So you can do a page and then your child can do a page. But right up until about the age of 10 or 11, your children will still enjoy being read to.
Sure.
So story time, implement story time. Or parents are doing story time, but it's a 1 minute or a 3 minute story time, not a lovely 10, 15 or 20 minutes. Now there's an emotional connection between the content and the words and the voice that is reading it, especially at home with story time, because it is the parent who is reading it. So it can make it highly memorable. Also, you can be more fun because you can put on different accents. You can become, you know, you can put it on. You can become the character that you're reading. And all of that makes for more memorable and more memorable learning experiences. Then the other trap we fall into is that we don't read age-appropriate books. So we might be sticking to books that are too babyish for our children.
Sure.
And not expanding the word power of our children. So we need to use broad language with our children as well, either in conversation or in the books that we're reading. And then, of course, children are not reading enough. There's a lot of competition for time. So children are often watching instead of reading, mm-hmm. listening instead of actually actively reading and seeing the words in front of them. And then and that's obviously because of more TV, more gaming. Mm-hmm. Now, this is not to say that they're not acquiring language by watching TV and gaming. In fact, I have a nephew who has the broadest vocabulary, and he does plenty of gaming and sure. plenty of TV watching, and there's plenty of conversation in the home and the family. And he's actually a very good reader. He pretended he couldn't read for a very long time, but actually he can. And he's got the most incredible vocabulary. Now, that is a fantasy play child who lives in alternative worlds, and he can describe the worlds he is living in and playing in the most incredible language. But then he has parents who listen to him and who feed back big words to him. So it's very, very interesting. You know, it's that serve and return. Serve and return. Children putting out words and conversation to parents. Are we listening? Because mm-hmm. there's another trap we fall into, that we're not accessible, or even if we're with our children, we're not really listening. How many times do we turn around to our kids and say, what was that? What did you say?
Sure.
Because suddenly you realize they've said something interesting, but you weren't really listening. So parents listening is a big thing. And then when your children are expressing themselves in language, we often sabotage them because they're speaking maybe or stringing their words together slower than we would, where we finish our children's sentences for them.
Yeah.
And then they stop talking, because why should they bother if you're going to interrupt them? And then the last reason why I think children aren't picking up these skills at an early age, and when I say an early age, we're talking preschool and primary school in this foundation time, is that we don't discuss feelings and emotions with children either. We're too scared to go there. We don't really want to know how they're feeling. So those are some of the reasons why I believe children are not picking up these skills easily and early. And there are many ways in which to encourage them to pick up these skills better.
So then my question becomes, how do I do this without turning every single interaction into a comprehension exercise?
Yes, because or an interrogation.
An interrogation, guilty as charged. The poor kid will step in the car and I'll ask her how her day was, and she'll say, oh, maybe good and bad. And then it'll be off to the races with the Spanish Inquisition, because I'm just asking many questions.
Well,
or asking, what does that word mean? So clearly, we can really swing to extremes on the spectrum. How to do this and also make sure that you're testing or enforcing comprehension skills without your child being aware that mom's always on an educational agenda.
Yes, very good comment. And this also brings us to talking about children who express themselves differently, because you can have a talking child and a non-talking child. And I had one of each.
Sure.
So the talking child was quite happy to chat about his day in the car after school and to be interrogated and asked questions. And yet the more I asked my non-talker child about his day, the more he shut up. So one has to also gauge how much one can push one's child. But you almost have to go at it sometimes in an oblique way. And we'll talk about when we have to do it directly, because there are four steps if you need to do it directly. Like, if your child's really not doing well at school, you need to look at comprehension skills. So that is something we must talk about. But let's look about some of the more indirect things. So it might be that you give your children an instruction, like going to the shops, giving children responsibility, and saying, if they're old enough, so, say you've got a 10-year-old, and giving them the money and saying, please pop into wherever you are. Maybe it's the garage shop, because you can watch them from the car then.
Sure.
And you've asked them to get a Coke and bread and milk.
Mm-hmm.
Can they remember that? So, they've got to go in by themselves and remember. You see, because they're doing something very practical and real, and they've been given responsibility, often that works like a charm.
Sure.
So they remember. And when you give children instructions, it's quite interesting. Sometimes they, what they understand and what you've said can be two completely different things, especially when they get into the teen years, when the hormones are racing, they can hear very different things. Mm-hmm. Sometimes in those situations, you have to say, what did you hear? How did you understand what I said? Then with empathic listening. We have to role model empathic listening. So if your child is telling you all about their day, once they've told you about their day, you can say, I heard you say XYZ. Am I right? So did you understand what they said in the way they intended you to understand it? And then find something that interests your child. You know, some kids are just absolutely crazy about superheroes. Others sure. are crazy about dinosaurs. Others are crazy about, you know, it could be anything. Find what they're interested in, because that's where you will be able to have easy conversations where they lead the conversation.
Gotcha.
So build vocabulary there. And then what I keep saying to parents is today, because we're on so many different devices in the home, and we can all be, one can be watching Netflix, one can be watching Apple TV, one can be watching DSTV, we could all be watching different programs on different devices and have absolutely nothing to speak about because we're all in our own little worlds. Mm. Watch a family series together. Choose one series that is applicable to the whole family, and at least once or twice a week or whatever it is, watch together. Because that will also give you some commonality to chat about that's not about you, my child, what's going on in your life. You know, sometimes they don't want to be under the microscope all the time. So find external stuff that's going on that you can have conversations about, because it does take the pressure off the child. And then word games, of course, build word power. You see, children can't put things into their own words unless they have enough vocabulary. So playing games like Scrabble or Bananagrams or Upwords, things like that, are very important because they do build word power for children. Awesome. And you see, where this goes to is that ultimately, once they get into grade 12 and tertiary education institutions, they have to put all of their assignments through a plagiarism monitor. And the one that's often used is called Turn It In. So you have to turn your assignments in, and the computer, the algorithm, works through what your assignment, and it gives you a score. And it will tell you how much of what you have written you copied from somewhere else, because, of course, it can search the internet for everything.
I've seen lots of grumbles about Turn It In on social media and how it's shown a few students flames when they were, you know, on a little lazy with our referencing
and
attribution.
So, you know, it's quite tricky. My youngest is studying landscape architecture. And one of the modules is the business module, where you have to, you know, learn all the legalities of being in the building industry and all the things you've got to get approval from council and, you know, all that stuff. This is dry. It's dry. Your kids ultimately are not always going to be able to read stuff they love that lights their fire. There's going to be something that's terribly boring.
No, you're going to have to get creative, huh?
Yeah, and even in the terribly boring stuff, you've got to be able to make sense of it and put it in your own words. Mm. Because if you can put something into your own words, then you know you understood it.
Absolutely.
If you're not able to do that, then you're not sure if you really understood it.
Exactly. Nikki, you know, you've taken us through some really interesting sort of line items around how to help our children with comprehension, in fact, what comprehension is. But I think what's also key is, you know, if you could just tell us the place of reasoning and even background knowledge when it comes to comprehension. Because in many ways, like you said, not everything is going to be on the page in front of you, but you're going to have to pull. There's going to be a process of deduction in some instances to come to the right, or inference to come to the right answer. Reasoning and background knowledge, or general knowledge, I guess, is so key.
Hugely, hugely important, and it's completely underestimated these days. And I always say, you know, when you get into a job interview, you can't suddenly say to whoever's interviewing you, I just need to check on Google. You know what I mean? Mm. So you've got to have enough general knowledge to have context. for a conversation, for a discussion, for even this piece of writing that you're having to read and then answer questions about. So definitely having conversations with your children, building general knowledge, is so important. And that is largely what we do when we sit around a dinner table and we have conversation. When we see something in the news and we take it a little bit further. So just to go back to what I said earlier, I said I would give the four-step plan for those whose kids are battling with the real skill of comprehension. You will find that if your child's comprehension skills improve, every subject will actually improve. So let's have a look at this, because I had to do this particularly with one of my children. Neither of my children, by the way, are natural readers. Okay. I am a voracious reader. My husband was not a reader. And they seem to take after him. But anyway, at the age of 13, I had to take one child through this exercise. Step one, we chose an age-appropriate novel together. Yes, a novel, not a magazine. A novel. Novels are full of rich language, different to short stories and magazines. And he would read just four pages aloud to me, because I needed to know what was going on in the story so I could see how effective his paraphrasing was going to be in the next few steps of the exercise.
Sure.
Also, when a child hears themselves, it's also they remember more. So many children actually need to read out loud when they study to increase their ability to retain information. So if you've got an auditory learner, that would be the child who needs to read aloud. Then my son would tell me what he had read about in about five sentences. So he had to paraphrase. So using his own words, he had to paraphrase the four pages in about five sentences. So give me the nub of what he'd read. And then the fourth stage was that he had to go and write it down in his own words, four or five sentences only, about what he had read. Then I would check to make sense, and we'd fix any language and grammatical errors. And it was actually, you know, it took a bit of my time, but it was a very good investment of my time to create a greater awareness within him. It's a discipline, you know.
Absolutely.
It takes discipline and practice. It takes years of discipline and practice. And those are two words that we don't really like today, is discipline and practice. So hugely important that we pay a bit of attention to these comprehension and paraphrasing skills, because they are going to really help our children in their future. Because if they can develop the ability to sift through a lot of information for meaning and be able to repackage it, that is an absolute skill. And word power gives you power. It gives you the ability to lead your own life.
Lovely stuff. All right. Fantastic. Nikki, let's look now at toys. And today we're talking tubes. That's T-O-O-B-S. What's that about?
Tubes are from a brand called Safari. And they have been one of my favorites for a long time. And they're called tubes because they are little cubes of 12 little figurines. Now, figurines are brilliant for fantasy play. And there's nothing like giving a child a tube of... And you can get these in farm animals, wild animals, Antarctica animals, dinosaur skulls for the child who's really into dinosaurs. Can you imagine that?
Different
skulls, wild ocean zoo babies, insects, space. And children love figurines. Beautiful for fantasy play, for growing vocabulary, for decorating their room. And they're collectibles, collectible items, but they're playable items, whether they're played with in the bath, in the sandpit, whether you add them to the car set, all the Lego set, and you have little figurines that you build houses for or farms for. So these are beautifully tooled, beautifully painted. They come in different tubes for different, you know, different collections, and they're 250 rand a tube. And the best place to get them at the moment is on timelesstoys.co.za.
Fantastic. And of course, I love this feature only because, or mostly because, if you're not feeling like, you know, looking to find the things that the kids are into, then there's some great gift ideas being presented to you so nicely every Saturday. Nikki Bush, thanks so much. You and I will chat again next week Saturday.
Thanks, Rufiwe.
Look after yourself and keep well until we do so.